What's going on, everybody? Welcome into this edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. It's Louie DiBiase, as always, joining you on today's edition of the show. It is Friday. We are only 6 days away from the NFL draft. We'll see if Arizona goes with Kyler Murray first overall on Thursday. They go on the clock at 8 o'clock, and we will be with you live on the Locked On Eagles draft show. You can check that out on Twitter at Locked On Birds and at DiBiase LOE. We will have our Spreaker audio stream going. We'll also have video for you, so you can see me and Gino put our fists through a wall if the Eagles take a corner. You'll see me rejoice if they take Josh Jacobs or Cleveland Farrell, or if they move up for a guy like Brian Burns, or if for some godforsaken reason someone big falls to the Eagles at 25, like Ed Oliver or DK Metcalf. Who knows if it would actually happen, but we'll be live with you to react throughout the draft next Thursday. We'll have a pre-draft show starting at 7 o'clock, 1 hour before the Cardinals go on the clock. As for today, I thought we'd take a little spin when it comes to the draft and kind of go into a different category, and it's fantasy football, because rookies, they can impact your league. Bet you a lot of teams won championships last year with Saquon Barkley as their running back, or a couple years ago. I know I only lost the championship by 2 points, and in large part that was because of Ezekiel Elliott. So rookie running backs, based on opportunity, can really be big in a game where running backs are more important than, they're the quarterbacks of fantasy football. Running backs are extremely important, so I want to get Graham's thoughts on Josh Jacobs, you know, Miles Sanders, Daryl Henderson, any late-round gems. And at the same time, this wide receiver class, I think, is going to do a lot more for fantasy owners this year than the 2018 underwhelming class with DJ Moore and those guys. This year, there's so much to offer with DK Metcalf and Hakeem Butler, Hollywood Brown. So we're going to get into all of that with Graham. Talk about, maybe is there a quarterback you like? Is Kyler Murray and his mobility something that you want? If you wait on quarterbacks, like a lot of people do in fantasy football, say you wait till round 13, is Kyler Murray good value? We'll get into all that and more with editor for NFL.com Fantasy Football, Graham Barfield. So let's get into it. Let's get into that interview right after this on Locked On Eagles. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Locked On Eagles podcast. Really excited about this segment of this Friday edition of the show. It's a guy that we had on last year, taking the fantasy football spin here on the podcast as the draft coming up next Thursday. You know, we've been getting into it when it comes to digging into the prospects, ranking them, you know, mock draft galore, talking about who the Eagles could potentially get at pick 25. But of course, there is an even bigger industry when it comes to football. You all got your teams, but at the same time, I don't know a diehard football fan that does not play fantasy football. So to kind of get into the fantasy perspective of next Thursday's draft, we're bringing on NFL.com Fantasy Football Managing Editor Graham Barfield. We had him on last summer, and Graham, since then, you were with the, I think, Fantasy Gurus back then. Now you're with NFL.com. I mean, congrats on that.
Thank you very much, man, and I appreciate you having me on today. I'm excited for the draft next week. It's finally
just the build-up, right? I mean, we kind of got with the schedule release the other day, and now the draft next week. You can really feel it around the corner, and in fantasy's first, right? Because in the summer, when even before training camp, you know, there's all the prep for your drafts and stuff, so fantasy football after the draft is kind of the next big thing.
Listen, man, everybody's following their own teams, but we all know what we're all here for. We all know.
Exactly.
It's where these guys are going to go for fantasy football. Let's be very clear about that.
Absolutely. And it's an interesting class when it comes to fantasy. So, I mean, you look at last year, you look at the running backs, of course, with Saquon Barkley, really, of course, met the expectations. I know he went really high in my keeper draft. You know, Sony Michel, when he finally got healthy, got things going. Darius Geis, of course, did not play the entire season. Wide receiver-wise, kind of underwhelming when it comes to the top with, you know, DJ Moore was showing some potential, but overall, I thought it was an underwhelming class last year. What do you think? I mean, how would you compare maybe this draft class, offensive talent-wise, to the past couple of drafts? I mean, do you think it's deeper? Mm-hmm. What do you think about the offensive talent this year from a fantasy perspective going into 2019?
Right. Well, from a fantasy perspective, let's just start with the running backs. This is the worst class we've seen come out in the last 4 years. I've been doing yards created during that time, and this is pretty easily the worst class we've had. But it's being balanced out, I think, by a phenomenal receiver group. I definitely think that this receiver class lacks consensus, that's for sure, especially at the top. But I think we all can agree that there's a lot of flavors in this receiver class, and pretty much any archetype of receiver that you would want is in this group. And I also love the tight ends. I mean, we all know that Fant and Hockenson are going to go probably 1-2. They'll probably go at the end of the first round. But I also am really interested in Jay Sternberger out of Texas A&M and Irv Smith out of Alabama. So I think the pass catching group will definitely balance out a little bit of the lack of depth and lack of top end talent for the running backs this year for fantasy. And I'm really, really interested to see kind of how the NFL views and helps determine where we should draft these guys in fantasy, because draft capital is huge for receivers and pass catchers. And I'm very excited to see, what quarterbacks get linked with what receivers.
Yeah, it will be interesting, especially with the receivers. Like you kind of said, it's really pick your poison with what style you want. If you want the deep threats, you can find the Hollywood Browns, the Paris Campbells, Emmanuel Hall, Mecole Hardman. If you want the bigger bodies that can also get down the field, I mean, of course, DK Metcalf really has the ability to do anything. Hakeem Butler, N'Keal Harry. What do you... Is there a strategy that you have when it comes to rookies? I mean, are you more comfortable taking running backs over receivers? I mean, do you rank them more based on opportunity or talent? Like when you're going into a season evaluating, you know, how you're going to go about your draft, how does your rookie strategy come into play?
Usually it's running backs just because their opportunity, especially if they are drafted early, is so, so easy to project. I mean, when a team drafts a running back, frankly, even inside the top 50, they're almost guaranteed to get touches pretty early on, especially guaranteed if they're drafted within the top 10. I mean, we've just seen every year. I mean, these running backs that get drafted inside the top 10 smash and get a bunch of opportunities. This year, though, we will not get a running back in the top 10. Frankly, I mean, Josh Jacobs might not go until like the early second round. So that being said, this season is different. In Dynasty, I've kind of taken the approach that I want to load up on like mid-round rookie picks in my dynasty draft. So I want to load up on like second and third round picks and hope that some of these receivers kind of fall to me. For redraft, again, it's just going to be all landing spot dependent, and hopefully we get some great talents on great rosters.
What do you think about Josh Jacobs? You mentioned his name. I feel like he's the consensus. While there's not really a consensus when it comes to wide receiver, I feel like the consensus when it comes to running back is that Josh Jacobs is RB1. But, I mean, you even said it, this RB class is, to you, the worst in 4 years. How do you compare him maybe to the recent top guys? We'll go last year, of course, Saquon Barkley, and then, you know, Ezekiel Elliott. You got that 2017 draft with Fournette, McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook going to the second round. Where does Jacobs kind of compare to, I mean, even Sony Michel, a first-round pick last year. Where does he compare to those guys as a prospect?
Jacobs is right on the fringe of elite. I think he's right there on that cusp of those guys that went in the first round. I mean, Bama's offensive line was fantastic. Josh Jacobs definitely benefited from a very talented group. In fact, their offensive line opened up the second most yards blocked I've charted over the last 4 years. But Jacobs is still just a highly creative, highly elusive, and very powerful runner. He tied Christian McCaffrey for the 9th best score in missed tackles forced per attempt. And only Joe Mixon and Sony Michel created 5 or more yards on a higher percentage of their carries over the last 4 years than Jacobs did. I mean, he's a great receiver. I found him to be an excellent pass protector, too. I will be pretty surprised. I originally thought that Jacobs, we might not see a running back go in like the top 40 or 50, but I'm now of the opinion, I'll be very surprised if Josh Jacobs is not off the board like within the first like 35 to 40 picks of the draft.
So the bell cow running back is kind of a thing where a lot of teams still do it. I mean, but even though, look at the Saints, Alvin Kamara is someone that is an elite fantasy football player, but they were still running with Kamara and Ingram. Teams rotate running backs. Is there a team for you that is the perfect landing spot for Josh Jacobs where you can justify, okay, that is a guy I can take, you know, let's say in the first round of a draft, maybe like a first round of a keeper draft, he's someone that I'm comfortable taking high. Is there a team that opportunity, you know, screams fantasy stardom for Jacobs compared to maybe a different team?
I mean, right now, just going down the board of like which teams need a running back and which teams need a foundation running back, it's very, very thin right now. I mean, Buffalo jumps to mind and Oakland jumps to mind just from an opportunity perspective. Like we know Jacobs would go there and immediately, I mean, barring injury, likely get over 200 touches. Those are the two from an opportunity perspective that jump to mind. But obviously, both of those offensive climates are not necessarily prone to a lot of fantasy scoring. I mean, it'll be interesting to see where he goes. The Raiders are in a prime position, but we don't know what the Raiders are going to do. And they just basically fired all of their scouts this morning. So I have no idea what to expect from Oakland. It'll be interesting to see, man. It'll be really interesting to see with this running back group because there's a chance that we only see like three or four guys go within the top 75 to 80 picks. I don't think there's going to be a lot of invested draft capital with this group.
Maybe Oakland, I don't know, with the whole getting rid of all their scouts, maybe they're cooking up something big like taking Josh Jacobs fourth overall, and they don't want that to leak out.
Oh, God. Please don't.
No. Yeah, but it is interesting. I think there is – I mean, let's go to the Philadelphia Eagles, because that's a team, too, that they brought in Jordan Howard trading with the Chicago Bears. They have Howard. They expect Corey Clement to come back in year three off that injury, and I think at least get back to – what he looked like in his rookie year, especially down the stretch in that playoff run. But really, nonetheless, I mean, Philadelphia does not have a running back that you should feel overly optimistic about in fantasy right now. Is that, I mean, let's say hypothetically Josh Jacobs falls to 25, the Eagles take Jacobs in that backfield. I mean, Peterson and Deuce Staley have been known to rotate running backs through a committee-like approach. Even when they brought in Jay Ajayi, it was still Ajayi, Blunt, and Clement. You know, last year, of course, they suffered injuries, but even before that, it was expected to be Ajayi, Clement, and Sproles. I mean, they have a great offensive line, but at the same time, they do rotate more than a lot of teams. Is that, do you think Philadelphia is a good spot for a running back, or is it a place that if they go there, you'd rather avoid that player in your fantasy draft?
Based on how Howie Roseman has evaluated running backs and how he's treated running backs basically all over his tenure, I will be shocked if they invest their first-round pick in a running back. That said, I think they're in kind of a prime position at 50. They have two picks like near 50 overall, right, in the second round?
Yeah, 53 and 57.
Yeah, that I think is more of the prime range. And I've kind of been hoping and praying that they'll draft Darrell Henderson. I think Henderson is a fantastic – I mean, that would just be a perfect 1-2 split between he and Howard. Between he and Jordan Howard, I think that makes a lot of sense to kind of maybe target him in that range, if anything. But yeah, I mean, I've been wanting to draft a fantasy relevant Eagles running back all of these years. I mean, I was invested in Ajayi last year, then he hurt his back and then tore his ACL. I like Corey Clement, and then he got hurt and didn't play well last year. I mean, we've been waiting for years to have a good fantasy running back in Philadelphia, and maybe we'll get one in this draft if they do want to invest in a, you know, one of their top three picks in the top 60 in a back. But that said, I mean, Howie Roseman has just shown no willingness and wisely no willingness to invest a ton of draft capital or money into running backs so far in his tenure.
It's interesting that you said Henderson. I think he's someone that would fit really well in this offense. I think you even said when it comes to created yards, Henderson was up there, right? I mean, you mentioned Jacobs, but it wasn't Darrell Henderson pretty efficient in Memphis that way as well?
Yeah, Henderson was just insanely explosive. I mean, he smashed yards created, posted the second best score in yards created per attempt over the last 4 years. Behind only Joe Mixon, only Mixon was better. That said, I mean, Memphis's offensive line and their climate just really lended itself to huge plays. Their O-line actually charted I have them for the most yards blocked I've ever charted over the last 4 years. But Henderson's very explosive in the running game, very explosive receiver, can kind of flex him out as a wideout as well. I hope that Henderson goes to a really good offensive climate in like that second and third round range, and Philadelphia would be a perfect fit for it.
Before we get to wide receivers, I want to finish up running backs here by talking about maybe if there's any late round names that you have, because I mean, we look at David Johnson and Alvin Kamara, even Jordan Howard, who's now in Philadelphia. I mean, the first couple years of his career, really relevant fantasy running back until last year, Tariq Cohen really started to take over that backfield. Is there a late round name that you could see if he goes to the right situation, he would be fantasy relevant?
Sure. I mean, the two wild cards, I think, in this class right now are Bryce Love and Rodney Anderson, both from medical issues. I mean, this is just such a short class from a depth perspective that these running backs that have the injury concerns. I mean, Rodney Anderson hurt his back, tore his ACL. Bryce Love has ankle problems, tore his ACL. They're huge problems. But we've just seen enough small sample success out of both of them to make them, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth round wild cards. If anything, I think one of those two hopefully will pop. I'm betting there's going to be definitely a few surprises in the fourth, fifth on, you know, basically all the day three picks, just because this, I'm imagining the NFL is going to view this class pretty differently because it isn't deep. But if I had to put my name on two, it'd probably be Love and Anderson, just because I want to see where the NFL is netted out with their medicals.
That's a good point. I think both of those guys, if they were healthy, I think you could see them at the top of these rankings when it comes to this class. Let's move over here to wide receiver. Again, we talked about it. Really pick your poison with what kind of receiver you want in this class. I think it's a lot deeper on paper right now before they hit the NFL than the past couple of classes. I mean, since 2014, that historic receiver class, there haven't been a lot of, you know, world-beating, you know, dominating fantasy players when it comes to rookie receivers. Let's say hypothetically in 2019 you're looking for someone to get instant production out of, right? It's not a dynasty league, it's not a keeper league. You're looking to add a rookie receiver maybe later in your draft that you know can get you maybe more than, let's say, I mean, Hollywood Brown, I feel like a lot of people could hypothetically say is boom or bust, right? Paris Campbell, those kind of players that had a lot of manufactured touches at Ohio State. If there's a secure player that you could bet the most to get production just in 2019, is there a rookie receiver that comes to mind?
Yeah, it's A.J. Brown. I think A.J. Brown has the highest floor among all of these guys. I mean, as much as I love Hakeem Butler, as much as I want to love D.K. Metcalf, like, A.J. Brown just seems like such a stone-cold stud to me. Obviously produced a ton out of the slot. He can be moved both in the slot and out wide. I hope he goes to a team that will utilize him as, like, a big slot receiver where he can just, like, eat and feast against the clearly inferior interior defenders. But I think A.J. Brown easily offers the highest floor. But you mentioned it. I mean, like, there's just so much sex appeal. I mean, for the lack of a better word with this right. group. I mean, Butler is a lot of – I mean, Butler's my number one receiver because I think he's just a total freak show. But D.K. Metcalf is a freak. Hollywood Brown, I think, is the best route runner of this group, and it's not particularly close. Wow. I mean, he is just, like – he's borderline uncoverable. But the Lis Frank and foot injury will – again, it just comes down to, like, I really want to see how the NFL values Brown with his medicals. It's just a really fun group, man. I'm really excited for about a week from now.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's a lot of upside too with a lot of these players. Even, I mean, DK and Butler, Hollywood. Is there a guy that you'd be most comfortable, let's say, in a dynasty league, or you're investing long term? Who's the guy for you?
Hakeem Butler is my number one receiver going into the draft.
Okay.
Obviously, that will change if. A lot can change, frankly, in the draft. I always allow the NFL draft capital to kind of sway
right.
My opinions, and just I want to see where these teams are invested at. But right now, Butler is my one, AJ Brown is two, N'Keal Harry is my three, and then for dynasty, I haven't really figured out where I want to put Jacobs yet. I would imagine he will go no lower than four for me, but he could go as high as one depending on where he goes.
All right, last thing for you, Graham. I want to get to quarterback. It's a class that, I don't know, I think it goes back and forth. It's not the clear, you know, last year I think it was clear that there were going to be at least four quarterbacks taken, right? I mean, you had Baker going first, Darnold, Rosen, Allen, and Lamar all went in the first round as well. Like, everyone heading in said, like, this is going to be a great quarterback class, whereas this year I think it's torn with Daniel Jones and Drew Locke and Haskins. Kyler Murray, though, is to me the one guy that I think the majority are excited about, even with the size concerns, and he's probably going to go first overall to Arizona. If he does go to Arizona, I mean, this is a guy that rushed for 1,000 yards last year at Oklahoma. Having those kind of quarterbacks, remember, in fantasy football, even the likes of Tim Tebow was a productive fantasy quarterback compared to maybe he wasn't when it comes to just the NFL, but for fantasy, I mean, guys like Tyrod Taylor, those guys are valuable in fantasy football leagues. If he goes to Arizona, what do you like Kyler Murray in fantasy football next year?
Absolutely. If Kyler Murray goes to Arizona first overall, he's going to start week one, and he will be running around and creating yards with his ability off with his legs. I mean, we've just seen so many of these fantasy quarterbacks every year. Like, it doesn't even matter if there's a curve for Kyler Murray's passing because he's such a dynamic runner. He's going to come out and score fantasy points. I mean, Lamar Jackson could hardly complete passes for Baltimore, yeah. But he was a low end QB1 for fantasy just because his rushing ability was so good. Same thing with Josh Allen. I mean, I like Josh Allen a lot in fantasy just because of his running ability. Kyler Murray is in that same boat. The rest of this class, though, is I'm kind of sticking to my priors and sticking to my guns. I'm just not really interested in Dwayne Haskins. I mean, Drew Locke or Daniel Jones too much for fantasy early on. That can obviously change if you know, Denver or Miami or one of these teams kind of surprises us and really, or even the Giants, frankly, invest heavily in a first round pick with one of these quarterbacks. But I'm still sticking to my guns that this is a very weak group, and it's basically Kyler Murray and everybody else.
I agree with you. And, yeah, like you said, I mean, Lamar Jackson, I had him down the stretch last year, helped push me into the playoffs. I mean, Baltimore was really just running, like, read option-centric, almost Washington Redskins 2012 RG3 style, where they're running Lamar Jackson all over the field. And he was productive. Same with Josh Allen. I mean, the guy had, what, 8 rushing touchdowns last year?
Yeah. I mean, Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson are both fantastic examples. I mean, we can go back even further. I mean, Marcus Mariota ran quite a bit his rookie season. Tim Tebow was probably the pinnacle of this. I mean, Tim Tebow can't throw a ball, but he was a fantastic fantasy quarterback because he can run around and scramble.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be interesting. And I think Kyler is the only guy that really provides that kind of upside, or at least that security, because, I mean, Haskins, Locke, the mobility of even Jones, not really world-beating. So I'm with you there on the weak class of quarterbacks. It's Graham Barfield joining us on today's Locked On Eagles podcast. He is the fantasy football managing editor with NFL.com. Graham, thanks for coming on once again. Hopefully we'll get you on in the summer when fantasy really starts to heat up. But with the draft coming next Thursday, I thought it was a good idea to really get into what these rookies could provide for you in 2019 and in the future if you're in a dynasty league, keepers, whatever. So follow him on Twitter, at Graham Barfield. And, man, we really appreciate you coming on again.
Yeah, thanks, Lou. I appreciate you, man. Have a good weekend and enjoy the draft next week.
All right, that was Graham Barfield of NFL.com Fantasy Football joining us on today's Locked On Eagles podcast. Really appreciate Graham coming on and all his insight. I thought it was a really interesting show. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. If you're in a dynasty league, keeper league, or even standard, I think there are some players that, even in a weaker running back class when it comes to the depth, for Graham's opinion, I kind of like the depth a little bit more. I mean, again, I think there's players you could find. Even James Williams, I wouldn't be surprised if he goes to a team. I mean, he caught 202 catches at Washington State. I wouldn't be surprised if that's a guy that you could bet on in fantasy in PPR leagues or half point PPR. But nonetheless, I mean, with Kyler and this crazy receiver class, and, you know, at the top with running backs when it comes to Josh Jacobs and Daryl Henderson and Miles Sanders, I think there's a lot more to offer this year compared to last year, where even the rookie running backs, I mean, Saquon was a consensus guy that you're going to take high in your draft, but Sony was kind of, people were torn on him with how the Patriots rotate running backs and consistently use James White as that passing back. And Darius Geis got hurt in August. He tore his ACL before he could even play for Washington in the regular season. So I think this year, once again, even with the Eagles, it's more exciting because all the picks they have and just the buildup of what they could draft, because there's so much unknown. I think it's very similar to fantasy football, where I think it's a lot more exciting because the skill position players, especially at wide receiver, just so much more to offer. Wide receiver last year was just so unappealing with, you know, Christian Kirk and DJ Moore, Calvin Ridley, just not a lot of guys that really got me going. So, but once again, you can always check out Graham's stuff on NFL.com Fantasy Football. Follow him on Twitter, at Graham Barfield. So, again, once appreciate Graham coming on to the show. We'll get him back onto the summer when you guys are all getting juiced for your fantasy football drafts. As always, though, that's going to do it for today's edition of Locked On Eagles. We'll be back tomorrow with your boy Q from Locked On Raiders. What's going on with the Raiders? Graham mentioned it. They got rid of their entire scouting department right before the draft, 6 days before. I don't know if they're cooking something up big. Maybe they're trying to trade up for Kyler. Maybe they're trying to break our hearts and take Josh Jacobs at 4th overall. Can't really put anything past John Gruden. So we'll get into, you know, the Raiders and at pick 24, what they're going to do right in front of Philadelphia in 6 days. So we'll have your boy Q from Lockdown Raiders on tomorrow. Please subscribe to the show if you missed any of our past ones, including the My Guy roster from yesterday. You can find him on LockdownEagles.com or any podcast platform. Just tell Siri, just tell Alexa to play Locked On Eagles. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. And as always, let's go Birds.